Hi, this is Christopher Perrin with Inside Classical Education. On this podcast program, I interview a variety of leaders, administrators, and educators on topics relating to classical Christian education and its ongoing recovery and renewal in the 21st century. Archives of previous interviews can be found at our blog and podcast site at www.insideclassicaled.com. This is Christopher Perrin. Recently, I was speaking with Ken Myers of Mars Hill Audio. He expressed his concerns and offered some encouragements to leaders in classical Christian schools. Here's that conversation. Ken, what concerns do you have for those who are leaders in classical Christian schools? What kind of concerns or encouragements or admonishments would you offer them?
Well, I think one of the first things I'd encourage them is to recognize, I think obviously they would do this because they recognize there's something wrong with the dominant model of education. And, you know, they might, whether they blame Dewey for it or whatever, I don't know, but there's something in the conventional model that's not appropriate. I'd encourage them to try to reflect on how the cultural forces that disordered education have disordered other things as well, that they not assume that this is just a problem in education, but they realize that the problem in education is a symptom of something that has consequences elsewhere. And that has, you know, when they start thinking about that, I think that will start to raise questions about how they use technology or how they help kids think about their vocations. I mean, some other things will flow from that. In some of the reading I've done from the representatives of the movement, there's obviously a lot of concern with the loss of truth in our time. But I'd encourage people not to think that we're just kind of returning to it. We're not trying to recover the Enlightenment. We're not trying to get back to the 18th century. I think that would be a huge, huge mistake. So I'd say, recognize that truth, that the diminished attitude of truth or attitude toward truth is itself a function of an inadequate understanding of what truth is that you can trace back to the 18th century. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's likely to be a problem. I say that as someone who has it, for whom it's taken time to realize what's wrong, what was wrong with the Enlightenment. And then I think that as I suggested earlier, it seems that one of the big challenges is how do you collaborate with parents and pastors and build the community beyond, you know, 8 to 4 or whatever the hours of the school life are, so that when kids go home or when they're worshiping on Sundays or when they're in a youth group midweek or whenever, that there's some kind of coherence in their lives. Mm-hmm. So to be able to articulate to parents and pastors that what you're doing is part of a kind of way of life. Mm-hmm. It's just one phase of a way of life that's most fitting. And it seems to me that'd be a huge challenge. Mm-hmm. And may take generations to affect that. But I do think that that you're in a unique position to be able to begin that process. I think that's, if you know, in looking for points of leverage to begin to raise questions about conventional cultural habits. Partly, you can get the attention because obviously people are naturally concerned about their kids. They're naturally concerned about how their kids grow up. It's I think it's hard for parents to recognize sometimes how it's hard for them to acknowledge how much they have working against them. I mean, sometimes parents feel it immediately, but I think some parents think, well, that's not so bad. That's not something I have to worry about. But I think that there is a kind of systemic problem that we need to recognize what its logic is. So, I mean, I've talked to people, for instance, I've talked to teachers in classical Christian schools who've lamented the fact that often their kids' media lives are pretty much indistinguishable from lives of kids in any other school. Mm-hmm. And that the parents don't seem to realize that might be a problem, and that it might in fact undo what they're paying good money to have done to the kids while they're in school. So to figure out how do you educate the parents, which might be a bigger job than educating the kids in some way. It seems to me that'd be a big challenge. Yeah, I think those are the biggest things I'd think of. I've heard teachers also say, parents who have a entirely instrumental view, they just want their kids to get good test scores so they can get in the right schools, and I imagine that's going to be a problem in some settings also. But
absolutely, that's usually one headmaster puts it this way. You know, the first question often parents will ask is, what college might I expect my student to be able to get into?
Yeah.
And this is Mark Guthrie down at Caldwell College, and he says, well, that's not a bad question to ask, but how about this question? It's a rephrase question. Who do I want my son or daughter to be?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And he actually finds that parents respond positively.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's not usually the first one.
Well, yeah. Well, again, because they don't think that education is about discipleship or, the nurturing of the soul. They think education is just about credentialing and and getting information and skills that don't have anything to do with anything beyond that. But, so the idea that education is implicitly about character, character education isn't some, optional supplement to what education is.
Ken Myers of Mars Hill Audio, expressing some of his concerns and giving some encouragements to leaders in classical Christian schools. This is Christopher Perrin with Inside Classical Education, found on the web at insideclassicaled.com.